Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We evangelize, equip, and empower the urban poor in the inner cities of the United States. My wife and I were sent out from this church 6 years ago to Los Angeles. Like Pastor Richard said, it's not a foreign land, but it is. Pastor George is just one example of many people that we get to equip, we get to go find and share the gospel with, and then help them grow in their calling. There's a key verse that we refer to a lot. It's 2 Timothy 2:2. And in that verse, Paul writes to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he says, "And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So Paul is talking to Timothy, telling Timothy, entrust these things to others that will then entrust them to others. Four generations there. And that's what we're all about, right? The body is meant to give ourselves, be filled up. I loved the worship this morning. It's so good to be in the presence of many people worshiping God. We are leading a church plant, and so we're up in front a lot. It's good to just sit back and go, God, I love you. Fill me up. And as we get filled up with God, what do? Do we keep it and hoard it? No. We get to share it with guys like this guy, George. We get to share it with others so that they can share it with others, so they can share it with others, and it just gets contagious, gets spread all over the place. It's so exciting. So yes, this morning I believe I have a word from you. I'll do some of the good missionary stuff, and I'll throw in some stories and statistics and things like that, because I want you to know me, and I want to know you. This is important, right? We're from here. We need you. We can't do this alone. And so for you to be engaged in the ministry down there, you need to hear a little bit about what's going on. We want your prayers. We want your support. We want your love. But we want to give something to you too, and we feel like God's really put something on our heart. In this message that you will receive. So be ready for that. Please receive from God today. Wanted to ask you this question to start off. Have you been able to effectively prioritize your life where God and his kingdom are truly the center? The title of the message I put today was Pursuing God's Heart with Your Whole Heart. To give him everything. God, I want to pursue you. I want to go after you. And I want to do it with all that I am. It's exciting to see many people get baptized this morning. That's such a symbolic part of giving everything to God, right? Another question. Can you honestly say that you are pursuing God's heart, his will, his desires with your whole being? I hope so. And I know many of you, it's been good to be seeing familiar faces and get some good hugs and say hi and hear where things are going. But that's what we're doing, right? We're pursuing God and saying, get all this busyness, get all this complication out of my life so that I can give my best to God. We call our ministry as a family, Heart for the City. I feel like when I was sitting here at New Song, God was just speaking to me. And not just a heart for Portland, but a heart for his people, right? In whatever geographic place. It is in our heart. Honestly, my wife and I don't love LA. Not on our own. God died for those people, though. And, you know, as I was enjoying my honeymoon time with God some 20 plus years ago, when I first gave my heart to Jesus, I remember just saying, I love you, and I love you with all I am. All I care about is you. I was totally devoted to him. And yet then God showed me that verse in 1 John where it says, if you love me, you're going to love my people. I didn't love others. I just focused on God. I just focused on him. But the Bible says that doesn't work. We are liars and we deceive ourselves if we think that we can love God and not love one another. So the challenge isn't just living for God, but really allowing his heart of compassion and true interest in others to grow in you. And that really can cramp our style. That could really mess with us. It's not always comfortable. It's not always fun. Since some of you don't know us, I wanted to throw up a picture. If you could put the picture of our family up there. to kind of introduce who we are. Later, we hope to meet you in the foyer. We'll be out there willing to talk and you know, if you'd like to sign up. But this is my beautiful family. We left with the daughter on the bottom, Rebecca. She was 4. She's now 9. My son, Justice, is above her. And he was just 2. And unfortunately, they don't remember much. So we're kind of having to re-show them where we lived and our church home. And for some reason, Justice remembers the bathroom. He doesn't remember the pews. He remembers the bathroom. Go figure. And we've been joined now by our third little member of our team, Benaya. He's our 15-month son. But our job with World Impact is to plant churches, as I mentioned earlier. The goal is to evangelize the lost, then disciple, equip, and empower them or train them up to do the work of the Lord. From there, we look to help them grow the ministry or find their own giftings. And our real tagline is transforming communities together. We're all about going into a community, going into a part that's broken, that's hurting, with people that are fragmented and not working together, and bringing the gospel, which transforms communities. Amen? The Holy Spirit equips us and gives us power to be bold witnesses, have creative ideas, and see the fruit of the ministry. We believe that God has called us to plant 12 churches in 12 years. So that's what you can be praying for. God, help Chad and Fabiola as they go do this crazy thing that you've called them to do and plant 12 churches in 12 years. We've started one church. It's amongst the Hispanic immigrants in the neighborhood where we're living. The community is 80% Hispanics. Most of them have arrived within the last 10 years or so. And so we've started a Spanish-speaking and now bilingual ministry as we reach their children. It's called Fountain for the Nations. And really, that's our vision, is that we would be filled up with the living water of God and allow that to go out into the nations. World Impact, the ministry that we're with, has satellites not only in the United States. That's the ministry focus, is in the inner cities, the urban areas of the United States. But also has satellites in over 15 countries, most of which have been started by men and women who we met in the cities. We're able to bring to the Lord and train up, and then they caught the vision to go back to their home country or somewhere near there and begin another ministry. I don't know if you all realize how strategic the city really is. It's such a key mission field. More people live in the cities than ever in any time in history, and we all need Christ, and Christ is coming here to the cities. The cities are where people from all over the United States are coming. Just speaking about L.A., there's 4 million people living in L.A. I looked up a statistic this morning. There's less than 4 million people living in Oregon. The city in which we're living it's incredible. If you count the county of Los Angeles, there's 13 million. If you go into Orange County, which everyone says, hey, we're going to go to Disneyland, we'll go by your house. Well, not really. It kind of goes around. The freeway doesn't go exactly right past our place, but 19 million. So 19 million if you count the LA area, metro area. That's a whole lot of people, and a whole lot of people that need Jesus. Just speaking about LA again, there's 130 languages spoken in the public schools, representing 190 people groups. That's 99% of all represented people. Imagine if we could plant a church with just one of each one of those people. Get one of them saved, send them back home. Job would be done. I know it's not quite that easy, but it's exciting to think about how there's people at our doorstep. And that's true for Portland as well. In Los Angeles, it has the largest population of Mexicans, Guatemalans, Salvadorians, Thai, Filipino, and Korean in anywhere in the world outside of their own country, just in that one city. Up to 66% of the population is actually foreign-born in Los Angeles County. Los Angeles is the most unevangelized Hispanic city in the whole world, with less than one half of 1% of the people claiming to be Christians. This is happening in our country. But it's an opportunity for us to go. I know that maybe someone in here says, you know, I'm really getting stirred up. I want to go do missions, foreign missions. Go for it. But we also have a mission field right in our backyard. Many of your neighbors are people that we need to reach out to. We don't know their names. We don't know what's going on with their lives. You know, hearing the testimonies. Weren't you encouraged to hear how people have come from different things, from different places, as they were baptized this morning? That's the kind of thing we need to hear constantly. Why? Because God is alive. God is alive, and he's doing something in us and through us. And to be able to see that on a daily basis is what gets us excited and gets us moving. So God has revealed his heart also. Why did we go to LA? Part of it was really God's heart for the poor. You know, Jesus, when he's teaching in the temple one day, he pulls out Isaiah 61. It says, "The Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." And that's something that we've received as well, an opportunity and a blessing to go and reach those that don't have. And the city is full of plenty of different types of poverty, waiting for the light of the gospel to give them hope. So the city, no matter what city it is a really strategic mission field. I think on your little bulletin flyer, you have a map. And I just made a circle, the yellow circle, if you can see that. That's downtown L.A. L.A.'s pretty big, kind of got a big chunk to the west. But that's downtown, and we're just south of downtown. Most people traditionally called it South Central. Now they've taken the central out to make it sound less rough, and it's just South L.A., but whatever. So the little red square is our neighborhood. That's the neighborhood in which we live and minister. That's where we started the church. That's where we've done most of the things. But the red circle is the kind of sphere of influence. And so we've branched out. And we keep looking. We're looking east. We're looking west. We're looking north. We're looking south. As we're raising up believers, as we're training people out, where are they going to go? Where are we going to send this next church planner? Are we going to leave the church in the hands of some people like we've done today? Obviously, I'm not at the church today, so there's people that have recently been saved, and they're using these gifts that they've been growing in. And so that's where we're at, so you can kind of visualize. And we'd love to have you. It's not too far, just down I-5 a little bit. Come visit us. Come see what we're doing. We'd appreciate that. But today I wanted to tell you a little story. You don't have to have the map up if you don't want. It's up to you. But let me illustrate some of what we're doing through this story of this couple. This couple's name is Jose and Maricela, and we met them some years ago when they were both deep into drugs. They were abusing alcohol. Between the two of them, although they weren't married, they had 7 children. And, that's kind of how we met them. We were walking down the street and saw a bunch of kids playing on the cement outside their apartment. And thought, hey, look, a whole group of kids. We could start a Bible club and invite them out. And so we did. We invited them and said, come on, we want to teach you the Bible. We want to do some fun things with you and teach you what Jesus says about your life and what's to come. And Jose, he used to make money taking metal off of people's porches and cars and things like that. Maricela, her job, well, she didn't really have a job, but her mom worked at a hotel, you know, the ones that you rent by the hour. We didn't know that when we went to visit her mom to pray for her because she was sick. And it's like, grab the kids, cover their eyes, don't touch anything, because, you know, they don't clean the places every hour. They just kind of tidy it real quick. And it was interesting, but through the experience, we were able to show God's love and compassion for these people. We were able to show them that we were interested. When Maricela invited us into her room, I say room because really that's all it was. You walk into the front door and there's a bed. You walk next to the bed, there's a stove, and then there's a little door with a bathroom, and that's the whole place. So, you know, me, my wife, and at that time just our 2 kids, and then Jose was sitting there. I mean, the couch is the bed. There's only so much space. It was interesting, to say the least. Our first experience kind of going into that place. And, no problem with that, really. Except that the whole time we were sipping our Cokes because Maricela had offered us something. And Jose's just scowling at us. And we're like, this is comfortable, real comfortable. What do we do? You know, it's like you can't just excuse yourself. You're in this small space. But in that, again, we were able to begin to build relationship with them. As we got to know them more, Maricela showed more interest and actually gave her heart to Jesus in a time when Fabiola went to visit her. Fabiola began to share a verse And as that verse began to unfold, Maricela said, whoa, I need this. And they prayed. You know, they prayed and she gave her heart and began to pray for Jose. We invited them to a lake. I think I have a picture of us when we went to the lake one day. It's very funny to watch these pictures because as I'm doing right now, as I visit these family, your families here, and I say, well, the kids are bigger. These kids are way bigger now. This was 4 or 5 years ago now. But we went to them to the lake, had fun, you know, had a carne asada, big barbecue and whatnot, and built some relationship. Then, not too much after that, I think there was two pictures. I don't know if you'd put them both, but Jose's tooth began to ache so bad he couldn't sleep. And, you know, he was like, I'm just going to pull it out. You can't pull your own tooth out. What are you talking about? So I went and researched. There was a dentist and I asked, you know, could you do me a favor, please? This guy, he can't sleep. And so, you know, we were able to find him some help for his tooth. And that really helped us break that barrier, I guess, that there was originally. And little by little, he began to come out and ask for advice. Hey, what do I do about this? You know, I'm trying to get along with Maricela, but I keep fighting and doing this and doing that. And, you know, first things first, get your life right with God. You know, start coming to church. I could give you good advice all day, but if you don't get your life right, it doesn't matter. And so he did start coming out, and it wasn't too far after that that he asked me this question. He says, you know, I know we're living in sin, and I want to get things right. Do I get baptized or do I get married first? I said, let's just do them both. You know, we'll just have a ceremony. We'll do the whole thing. So we did. We had the wedding. We had the baptism all on the same day. His wife got baptized at that same exact time. And it was really a great celebration. And from that time, it's been so fun to see this family develop. Maricela has gotten now involved in the children's ministry. She serves faithfully, just given herself to that. Jose took an interest first in music. We realized that might not be your area. Well, go ahead and keep trying, but that might not be your strong suit. But then we really found it. You know, hey, he really was good at leading these small groups. And so we gave him some material, had him as an assistant leader. And, you know, now whenever I'm gone or whatever, you know, he's able to take on the lead. And he's got his own group at his house. They've actually been able to move. So God's kind of blessed them even in their finances a little bit. So now they have an actual bedroom. Actually, two bedrooms, one for them and one for their kids. So it's a lot of kids in one room, but it's so much better than the little space that they had before. And God is doing great things in them. And, you know, we believe it's not just them. We've seen this as an example. There's so many others that are like Jose and Maricela that we get to empower and share the gospel with. And part of what I want to encourage you in this morning is go find Jose. Go find Maricela. Go find these people that you can invest in. Because they're here. They're all over. They might be just like you. They might be completely different from you. That doesn't matter. God's in you. He's given you a message. Share it with someone else. And let that transform not only their life, but then the next person's life. Right? Jose and Maricela got saved. Their kids have all given their life. I think the oldest three have all been baptized now. And they're on fire. They're on fire for God. They shared with me that they're the only ones that knows Jesus in their school. But they're being solid. They're being consistent. They're loving God publicly. And as a family, they've come together to experience things that they never would have experienced otherwise. We believe that the church that we're planning is going to be a hub for many other churches to be birthed through. The maturing, empowered urban leaders being evangelized and equipped, just like Jose and Maricela. I remember this one evening pretty clearly. It was a long night. We had a church service. And afterwards, as I was kind of cleaning up, there was one lady that kind of lingered to talk about another problem that she had. And it was weighing her down. And, that's why we moved to the city. We wanted to go and be able to minister to people like this. But it was one of those days. I don't know if you've ever had one of these days where you just don't care. You're just tired. Can't see from Christ's perspective. I'm probably the only one. I know. But she kept going and going and going, and I'm like, yes. And I think there was honestly a few times where I began thinking about something completely different. I had to pull myself back. And you know, I wanted to get home. I wanted to rest. I wanted to have dinner with the kids and, you know, get them before it was too late. And they were already sleeping. But God had other plans for me. And I really believe that this was all. And as I tell this story, I think you'll see it unfold, how God really was working on me, but also allowing me to be used in this situation. So finally, things wound up, and I closed up the church and zooming home. But yeah, it was way too late. It was way too late. I knew dinner was over. There'll be something for me, but I got to heat it up myself. Bummer. You know, the kids are probably already in bed. I might get just give them a quick kiss. And that was pretty important to me. But as I was driving, my mind kind of went back and forth between, I just want to get home and kick my shoes off. And, man, this lady's really going through stuff. And so I started praying for her. And, okay, God, you know, is there something else that you would want me to share or do for her? How can I help her? And then suddenly, out of just car stops right in front of me. It was about three car lengths in front of the stoplight. I'm going, what? And kind of just without thinking, I throw on my brakes, and this lady comes out screaming of the car. I'm like, what's going on? Another lady comes out, then a man, and then a boy. And they're all screaming. This lady gets down on her knees and just like, no! I'm like, what is happening? I get out of the car, I start calling 911, and I'm trying to, what is happening? What had happened was, this little baby, he was not two yet, had fallen asleep or somehow choked on a sucker. And he couldn't breathe. And he was turning red and kind of going blue. And the mom and then I guess the aunt and whoever else was in the car kind of all came out. And just, they were literally in the middle of the street. Now, I was stopped, and I was kind of stopped a little bit off kilter. So we backed up. By then, it was already a couple blocks worth of traffic behind us. No one could move. People were starting to form all around, and you know, I'm not exactly up to date on my first aid or CPR, but I do remember that shaking a child violently doesn't help most of the time. That's what the mom was doing. She was just going, no, or it was the aunt or someone. I'm like, eh. So I kind of just took charge. I don't know if I knew what was going on, but the crowd was forming. It kind of looked like we were getting ready for a parade or something, and you know, I told them, strike the kid in the back. Hit, dude. And time was ticking. They weren't listening. So I just grabbed the kid, told them to get the mother out of here, and took this pretty heavy kid, actually, to the sidewalk. Meanwhile, I'm still kind of on the phone. Well, what's going on? Well, this is the intersection. This is the problem. And so the paramedic on the phone told me, you know, put him on the ground and listen if he's breathing. That's going to determine what you're going to do. And at that moment, these two girls came up and they're like, oh, pobrecito, I'm so sorry, little boy, I'm so sorry. And I couldn't tell if the kid's breathing because all I feel is, I was like, come on, guys, I'm trying to work here. Help me out. Got rid of them. Figured out he was. I didn't have to do CPR. So turned him over, a few sharp hits on the back. He coughed, he breathed, he began to regain his color. Yeah. So at that moment, you know, it was kind of like a celebration. People were like, oh, everyone's relieved. I said, he's going to be okay. At that moment, I could see the lights coming from about a half a block away. The guy on the phone said, just stay with him. Keep the crowd under control. And then make sure you give a report to the guy, the paramedics that are coming. So I did that. The mom's still about, you know, the other side of the car, just screaming her head off. I imagine I'd be pretty freaked out, too. You know, if that's your kid. You don't have the mental capacity most of the time. But, you know, I did my little report, got in my van, and drove off. I suppose I just saved the life of a little boy. And I don't tell you that story because I want to bring attention to me so much as what I did as to what I almost didn't do. You know, I'm actually surprised I stopped. Most of the time I see things. I drive by a lot of shady streets. And I pray. You know, I'm a good Christian, good missionary. But I don't stop. I don't stop. We need to stop. You know, I was more worried about getting home to fill my plenty full stomach. I was more worried about getting home for my own comfort. I was, and that's normally the way I think. Go point A, point B. I say I care, but do I? You know, even when it's convenient or isn't convenient, or when it's easy or isn't easy or affordable, right? I don't mind giving a little bit, but when it costs something, am I willing? I don't want to get involved. I don't want my hands to get sticky. It gets messy. We have these excuses. I'm sure you're busy too, right? We're all busy with lots of priorities, lots of things to do, even if it's just getting home. But I'm thankful to God to see how a situation like this helped me experience God's grace. You know, something I would normally pass right by because I'm preoccupied by my own little things going on in my head. What's important to me? You know, even good stuff. You know, God told me to go do this. I'm going to go do it. But what about what's in between? I mean, I imagine if I would have gone home, maybe this boy wouldn't have survived. The family had no clue. It didn't seem like the people around had much of an idea. I don't know. But it just makes you think. You know, life goes on. Dinner can wait. For me, I realize that the more that my life is God's, and I must be ready at whatever moment that he calls. There's a really powerful verse that's been challenging me, even as we minister to the poor. It's in Proverbs 21, verse 13. It says, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. You know, isn't that what we're doing, though? Ignoring? Shutting our ears? Driving out? Drowning out the tears, the cries, the pain with something louder? I want God to answer my prayers. I'm sure you do, too, right? Everyone wants God to answer my call to you. Answer my prayers. But here, the Bible verse is saying quite clearly that we should not shut our ears to those that have need. There's a similar story, and I want to kind of end with this Bible verse. If you would go with me to Mark 5, there's a story that's pretty well known about Jesus healing a girl, Mark 5, 21. Jesus was a man of purpose. He's obedient, and he was clear on his purpose and direction. How many of you want to be more like Jesus? We need to be about purpose. We need to be obedient. You know I do. I want to be like that. I'll tell you, I think that I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit just to get out of bed. You ever feel like that? Yeah, God, just fill me up, because if not, I'm not getting out. I can't do this. But think about our days. Our days have a lot of things going on. We can be hectic. We're full of purpose, but is it God's purpose? And that's what I want us thinking about today. God is able. We just need to be willing. So let's look at this. I'll read Mark 5:21. We'll go to 43. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter's dying. Please, come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. So he turned in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? You know, I think Jesus walked in such a way and with such a purpose so that people could touch him. You think about that? How do you walk? I think I walk sometimes so people don't touch me. I go around the sticky situation. He's walking right through the busyness of that crowd, knowing he's got a pretty urgent business meeting to go to. He's got to go heal a girl. He has something important to go do, but he's still able to walk through the busyness of life. Are we walking with such purpose? You know, in a way that others can touch us and reach out to us. Really, I think the question is, are we living for ourselves or are we living for others? Continue reading with me in verse 32. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the women, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at the feet and trembled with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus and the synagogue leader. "Your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? You're too late. You know what? You messed up. You got busy on something else, and too bad." But in verse 36, he heard that. It says, overhearing that, what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Crux of our whole faith, right, is just believing in Jesus. Can Jesus do something, or do I have to figure it out myself? Can Jesus really heal this person? Can Jesus really take care of this situation? Is Jesus really enough? Is he really enough? Is he really all sufficient? Of course. Of course. And I know we know this intellectually, but it's something we need to wrestle with. If I'm honest this morning, I know I still need to deal with that. Singing songs about God, you're my provider. God, you're faithful. You can take care of all our needs. We say that. And I think we believe it. But how much and how deep do we believe that? These people came and said, "We know you can heal this sick child. But now she's dead, so don't bother." Jesus tells them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And then in verse 37, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Oh, help me, Talitha kaum," which meant, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. You guys see that? A story very similar to what I just went through. But how many people did God heal? How many people did God touch? How many people were instructed and taught through that time? How many people were really touched? More than just that one girl, for sure. There were a lot of people that were mourning, a lot of people that were going through something, that got to see a resurrection. There were people, this lady with the issue of blood, she got healed. People got to see how Jesus can heal and how powerful he is. You know, I'm pretty sure we'd have just been plowing through the crowd. That's how I would have been. Just get me out of here, I got this job, I got to go heal this girl. Right? Totally missing the opportunity, totally missing the point. But Jesus actually let her die so this other woman could be healed. And so he could do an even greater work and bring her daughter back, the daughter of Jairus, back to life. God has power. We just need to obey. And how? How do we obey? I think a lot of obeying is about taking the clutter out. We were driving up here and my son didn't want to watch the DVD that my daughter picked out. We only have one DVD player. So my wife gave my son her iPod. Oh, he got to listen to some music. And then something happened, and I was yelling back, "Hey, Justice. Huh? Justice. Huh?" You've seen this, right? You've experienced this? Take the earphone out of the ear. We're like that, though. I think a lot of times You know, God, I can't hear you. A lot of us struggle with prayer. But even when we do pray, what I found is that a lot of us struggle with hearing God. We go to prayer and we start praying. And then you come back and, so what did God say? Did you pray? Yeah, I prayed. Of course I prayed. But what did God say? We need to get the clutter out of our life so that we can go into pursuing the purpose, the heart of what God has for our life. God's got great things in store for us. Great things in store for you. You know, Pastor George, who we saw in the intro video, he had to leave his profession. He had to leave everything he knew, really, to pursue this call of being a pastor. He wouldn't go back. He's very pleased with what God's got him. Fabiola and I had to leave a lot of comforts here. We love this church. We love our...
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.